Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
I'm in Vegas,
like walking around the casino broke at this point, hoping the slot machine has like extra credits in it or like chips are on the floor.
The whole casino, just all you smell at that hour is just loose cigarettes just sitting around. I stumbled into the elevator, ready to just say, fuck it. Couldn't remember what floor it was, so I found it on my key. Pressed the 15th floor, and all I can hear was ding, ding, ding. Doors open. Walk down the hallway to my room. The room kind of looked like any other nice Vegas casino room. Shower off to the left in the bathroom. One big bed. I had my little Louis bag with all my pills in it. Just poured them all over the bed. I remember just looking outside into the Vegas Strip. And just shutting the blinds.
Popped like 30 Xanax at once. Just swallowed it down.
Turned off the lights. And just kind of laid there until the brain just started fading away.
I'm Johnny B. Good, and this is Creating a Con. Episode 2, Rolling the Dice. In the beginning of 2014, Ray needed a fresh start. The idea of CenturyTech wasn't even on his radar, but it was on the horizon. Ray just couldn't see it yet. When Ray moved down to Florida, his friends and family thought he had a job lined up, set up by his high school friend Bert. But Ray had other ideas. He wasn't taking some job in insurance or mortgages like his mom thought. These jobs were for suckers. Once Ray was in the Sunshine State with Bert, the two of them uncovered a new get-rich-quick scheme. Mara remembers when she first heard Ray was moving down to Miami.
I got a text from Ray, and he was like, I'm moving down to Florida, moving in with Bert. I mean, I love him, but Bert has never been legitimate, and same with Ray. So that move to Miami with Bert was a recipe for disaster.
With Ray, it was just never enough. Ray always wanted something bigger, something that paid quicker. And of course, he stumbled upon it fucking around on his iPhone.
The first week I'm down there in Florida, I was just smoking a blunt and I was playing around with the Venmo app. I tried to send $3,000 to a friend from a bank account that had no money in it. On my side, it bounced and then charged me $35. And then on his side, it went through and it just stayed in his account. All that happens is my Venmo gets banned and his is still active. Everything's fine. He got $3,000. We split it. I'm like, we can really make something out of this.
If you're scratching your head like I am, here's what happened. Ray sent $3,000 to a friend through Venmo, but Ray didn't have $3,000 to send. The transfer goes through, Venmo fronts the cash, and the recipient keeps the $3,000. The only thing that happens, Ray's burner Venmo account gets frozen. So Ray starts another account. Venmo never even came after the money. They're probably embarrassed.
Anytime I see flaws in something like this, I have to exploit. I cannot help myself. We just replicated this process over and over and over from every single person I can find to do this.
So, typical Ray, he gets an idea to turn this Venmo glitch into a business venture.
I create an Instagram account, which is basically a bunch of pictures of money and bullshit that people strive to get one day. And you just get people direct messaging you, broke college kids, whoever it may be, and they would just send me $3,000. Their account would just get banned and I'd give them $1,000. Venmo just gets fucked out of everything. By the time this was up and running, within about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I was clearing six figures.
And eventually, even that wasn't enough.
After a while, this wouldn't even pay them. Like the last probably like 50 people I did it with, just like, fuck it. I just, you know, got greedy in a way.
So Venmo started requiring social security numbers for anyone trying to send more than like $500. Yeah, that was because of people like Ray.
Once the social security thing comes about with Venmo, we're like, all right, they're catching on. They're trying to slow us down.
And it worked.
It was much harder to get an average person to give you their social. So the money's not flowing as it was, but we made a couple pennies.
And if you're curious just how many pennies?
Probably about 250,000 over 5-6 months.
It's a nice chunk of change. Ray would never get in trouble for this scheme. But after his arrest in 2017, he'd come clean about it to authorities. We'll get into that more later in this podcast. Here's the crazy part. Even today, Ray still feels like this scheme, well, it wasn't on him.
This is Venmo's fault. This isn't really our fault. Venmo took this loss and kind of just took it because, you know, I helped improve their security system for sure. Venmo should definitely thank me at the end of the day. You're welcome, Venmo.
Ray had a new realization. Tech was where the money was at. It was easy to exploit with minimal risk. Look at how things ended with Venmo. There were no repercussions. Security came second to a lot of these startups. Lessons and values that Ray would call upon when he would eventually start Centratech. But for right now, this sudden windfall was all Ray needed to start fresh. Ray found a new home at a new beach, South Beach. He traded in his ugly orange safety vest for white suits and Alexander McQueen's.
Went from working construction, hating my life, to just every day making $9,000, $10,000, $12,000, and just living like a maniac. I was going out every single night, going on different dates with like random girls. I had so much money at my disposal that just trying to show off as much as possible. I would go out to dinner with a girl and the bill would be like $300. I would just pull out my stack of $50,000 and take my couple hundred dollars off to pay for like a small bill.
What a flashy fuck.
Every single day, we would go shopping, every type of shoe, all the clothes you can think of. You buy a Rolex. You're going to the strip club. Me and Bert's favorite strip club was called Booby Trap. It was like a little hole in the wall strip club. I used to, you know, just about every week, once or twice, have like a little orgy with as many hookers as possible. And just kind of enjoying life, doing drugs at the same time, as much drugs as you can possibly put in your body.
South Beach. I do the same shit.
Once the Venmo hustle started slowing down a little bit, I'm looking for my next thing to do. And I'm living with Bert at the time. We're talking about business ideas and Bert's whole background is in the car business.
Makes sense. After all, Bert was a car salesman.
I told him I had this idea to start a rental car business.
We're like, all right, so let's start Miami Exotics.
They would name it Miami Exotics. Very creative.
We created a website, miamiexotics.com. We bought the domain, which is actually like a tough domain to get. Miami Exotics could be like a porn website. It could be a car rental place.
It sounds like a porn site to me. Here was the plan. Ray and Bert were going to take the profits from the Venmo scheme and invest it into cars. Lots of cars. Expensive cars. Ray breaks it down.
Say you take a loan for 120 grand on an Aston Martin. An Aston Martin rents out for 600 a day. The monthly payment on an Aston Martin is roughly 1800. That takes 3 days to pay that back, plus another day or so to pay the insurance and whatnot. So you have 4 days of paying this car note and 26 days roughly of profit.
That'd be like 15 grand a month on just one car.
So the plan would be buy a car, rent it out for 3 months and make, you know, whatever the profit is depending on the car, and then sell that car for almost the same amount that you bought the car.
And they had more than one car in their fleet.
The thing is with Miami Exotics, there's not really that much of an exploitation. We were trying to run a legitimate business.
For this business to work, they needed to scale, and scale quickly.
We knew we were going to need car loans. Car loans is going to be the toughest part because all our credit was already shot. I have cash, but I need cosigners to get loans. Who can I reach? I can probably ask my family. Let's see what they say. My grandfather was willing to cosign whatever loan. He has perfect credit, and he's a millionaire. Once he had agreed to cosign a loan for me, everybody in my family kind of just fell in line.
These loans, they weren't insignificant. We're talking about lines of credit for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Down the line, this borrowed money would impact Centratech, the company Ray would eventually build. But Bert and Ray were focused on the now. They had an idea, but they needed the financing.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix anniversary sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Ray had just moved down to Miami. He decided to start a luxury car rental business with his high school friend, Bert. They'd call it Miami Exotics. They had the business set up, but they needed one more partner to get this idea off the ground.
We needed someone that knew what they were doing in regards to getting cars. This is where Sam Sharma comes into play.
Sam Sharma. He has a few names that you'll hear. Sam, Sharma, Sorby. He goes by all of them. He's another one of our Lawrence High classmates. I wasn't friends with him, neither was Ray. Bert explains.
At first, Ray didn't want to bring Sorby in. We know the type of person he is. And he said that there's going to be problems.
There was never a lot of trust between me and Sorby, ever. Because back in the day when me and Sorby were in high school together, I never liked Sorby and he never liked me.
Sorby was a very nerdy, smart kid. And Ray kind of would, you know, pick on him or bully him, you know?
We always had like this beef. I never fought him or anything like that.
I remember one time we were playing a game called CeeLo, which is like a dice game. And they were playing for money and Sorby rolled and he won.
Sorby had rolled trip fives and is really highly unlikely to beat that.
Ray just grabbed the money and said, you know, I'm keeping it and walked away.
I robbed him for like $1,000.
It was Bert that developed more of a friendship with Sorby. After high school, they even worked together at a few car dealerships in New York. Sorby knew the business and Bert knew they needed him if they wanted to succeed.
Eventually, we're just like, he's very smart, and we knew that he was capable, and he would figure out a way to do it better than anyone else.
I was very open to just being like, let bygones be bygones, and let's make this business work. Like, I had a lot riding on this because I had all my loans from my family. Bert knew the car business, but he's not as sharp as Sam Sharma was in regards to getting financing on cars. So Bert reaches out to Sam Sharma. He always had the connections to the banks and knew how to write up the loans to get basically maximum amount of money. He's currently working at Lexus as the head of finance in New York, and he actually was in the midst of getting fired for doing ghost loans.
Ghost loans. These are fraudulent loans where the borrower uses fake information on a loan application to secure an asset. In Sam's case, he used someone that just died and his next door neighbor, a priest for shit's sake.
A lot of times he'd even do it through his own name.
The bank would approve the auto loan and send you a check. You would just cash it instead of taking it to the dealership. Take the money and never get the car.
That was one of Sorby's biggest hustles before he joined us down in Miami.
You could avoid the bank for about a year, but then they'd come after you.
That's when Sorby would take out another ghost loan through a different person's name and basically just borrow from Peter to pay Paul.
And he'd just keep riding that cycle. Some grade A Ponzi shit. Sam was not a legitimate character. With no job, Sam got on a plane. He was in.
I had one conference call with him and I'm like, yeah, come down. He came to the apartment and I was out on the balcony smoking a cigarette. Bert went and got the door. He came out on the balcony, dapped me up, and the first thing he said was, you got that thousand? And I was glad that he broke the ice, but I was still just like, no shot. It would never have been my choice to be like a car rental place or anything like that, but Bert had known about the car business, Sorby had known about the car business, and those are gonna be my business partners. I was like, let's ride.
Sam went right to work. He started building the fleet.
A week later, we get a Bentley. You know, a couple days after that, we got a Maserati. So like the cars are starting to roll in.
And so is the money.
We're renting out cars on the regular. We partner with another rental company called MVP. We get a beautiful showroom with white floors, all glass windows around the sides. And we had all this dope art on the wall, very pop art mixed in with like cartoons and money. You'd see like Daffy Duck with a money gun type of art. We had every car in there, all different colorful, beautiful cars, McLarens. I remember we had a green McLaren, an orange McLaren, every color Lamborghini, Rolls Royces, Ferraris. We have probably about 30 cars at this point between the two of us.
The business was super successful. We had a lot of things that we were looking to do. I mean, the sky was the limit.
With things looking up, they decided to go in on a place together.
That's when we got like a beautiful apartment in Boca, as beautiful of an apartment as you can get.
Ray wasn't really known for his modesty. He enjoyed the finer things in life. Mara remembers learning about Ray's South Beach aesthetic, especially when he'd show off his new apartment.
It was a 3-bedroom, marble floors, huge balcony. Every time Ray would go out and buy like furniture or artwork, he would have to FaceTime and show me, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? He was like super excited about the artwork. He bought like 10 pieces that he still has, like a few of them actually. But it was beautiful. It was all like brand new.
We had like an office in our apartment, plus we had an office in the showroom. Our day-to-day is we'd wake up, we'd go to the showroom, we'd meet with clients all day, phone calls all day. And then you have like the porters, you have the mechanic, you have the guy taking the cash.
They had offices, a staff. It was a whole operation.
The clientele that we were renting to, a lot of them were rappers, European, like millionaires and billionaires that come here for the winter.
He's not exaggerating. They rented to some of the biggest names.
We had everybody renting from us, every celebrity you can think of, DJ Khaled, Floyd Mayweather, all sorts of different athletes that were coming to play in Miami or visit Miami, rich billionaire fucking assholes. Just about every rapper there is rent cars, mostly rappers, scammers, drug dealers. That's your main market. And then you get the once in a blue, the rich business guy that fucking tries to weasel you down on your price. But the scammers, rappers, and drug dealers pay you full price every time. If it was like our first time meeting any sort of rapper, we'd want to be there. We'd bring a photographer, take the pictures of us like giving them the keys, you know, sitting on the car type of thing. Those type of dumb pictures.
And the job, it had its perks.
Our lives are great. We would all go to Miami Dolphin games, have our own box and a suite. We were going to courtside Miami Heat games, dinners wherever we wanted, spending any amount we wanted. We had an amazing life.
I was like a celebrity in every room I walked into.
Ray, he never lacked confidence.
It was very easy to impress people because you're able to just take out any car you want any day. At a club, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to come pull up in like a Rolls Royce. The next day, I'm in like a Lambo. So at the height of Miami Exotics, we probably had roughly 30 cars any given time. And there was always new cars coming in and old cars going out that were being bought or sold.
We were killing it. I just
walk with it. Swag on 10, when they clocked out at Miami Exotics, that's when they finally got to enjoy the fruits of their labor. They were chasing that work hard, play hard persona, and they caught it.
It would start off at Live on Sunday, and then we would go to another club, Mokai, on Monday. We would go to a local club in Boca on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we go back to Live. On Thursday, go to Live. On Friday, go to Live. Saturday, go to Live. We were basically celebrities at least 5 nights a week. I mean, we were there so often that real celebrities would walk in, and we would get better treatment than them. They would just take care of us, walk right in, cut the line, special tables. They would give us extra liquor, whatever we wanted. We've met everyone, every NBA player, every rapper, Lil Wayne, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Young Thug, Steve Ballmer, the millionaire, was there one night, Drake many of times, DJ Khaled, Diddy. We've seen everyone in the world.
Ray, Sorby, and Burt were working through the inner circles of Miami's elite. And this lifestyle, well, they kept it going for a minute or two.
Over a year. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, at this time, I'm on so many Xanax that, you know, time is all blended together. My whole life is blended together in one big mash.
With the party lifestyle and the money came the inevitable relapse. Miami Exotics had a good run, but eventually those high school resentments started to resurface.
Looking back on it, our business never really had a shot because our relationships never had the ability to get to a level where they needed to be because of all our fucked up childhood issues. And that's when the situation started getting sticky. Was Bert got a girlfriend, she moved in, and Sorby got a girlfriend. Sorby moves in his girl, and he's like super insecure when she moves in.
3 kids from New York all move into one apartment in South Beach. They have access to hundreds of thousands of dollars, going to clubs every night. Throw in some girlfriends, some drunken nights, and some high school beef. That's a lot of drama. MTV's made millions off this concept.
It was always like a competition at that point. Once Sorby and Bert start beefing with each other, I'm kind of in the middle, and I just want everything to be calm, cool, and collective, and this business is doing well. I'm like, why is everything going left? Like, this is so frustrating that these two can't just get along. Like, what are we, 10 years old? We have a chance to have like a successful business.
As their relationships were falling apart, Ray started to notice that Miami Exotic's books weren't adding up.
We're making profit, but somehow we're spending way more than that every month between personal expenses. It's like the most excessive amount of spending that you can imagine at this point. One time I had seen Bert swipe the card for about $10,000 in dog bullshit, like a little French bulldog. It was frustrating because it wasn't even just personal spending. Out of nowhere, like, I would check the bank and there would be a check written for $30,000. And I'd be like, what is this for? And then just money just started missing everywhere, like in every bank account. Realistically, I'm the one that's getting fucked. This money is all my money. Like, obviously, business profits, that could be split between the three of us, but there is no business profits because there was always excessive spending. This is all debt that's going against my family, my grandfather's house, and then car loans are all through my family members. So I'm feeling this, and to me, it's like, are they doing this intentionally, just completely trying to rob me blind?
That's Ray's perspective. Here's what Bert Feldman remembers.
We were thinking that Ray was stealing money from our company, and then I caught Sorby stealing money, and then he called me, I think that day or the next day, and he asked to borrow money. And I was like, why do you need to borrow money? And when that happened, Sorby went crazy. He's very smart, very tech savvy. He logged into all the accounts, blocked everyone out.
That's all Ray needed. For him, it was a declaration of war. He'd burn it all down just to win. Ray is thinking Bert and Sorby are stealing money, and Bert is thinking Ray and Sorby are stealing money. It's a full-on shit show. Trust was gone.
Bert swears that isn't the case, and it was all Sam. I still to this day don't really believe that. I kind of always believe that they knew they were fucking me. After months and months of this going, I'm like $300,000-$400,000 in debt.
There was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. I think everyone was overusing the credit cards and capital that we had. Ray just, at that point, did it more than anyone else.
I was so sick and tired, and this is after months of trying to get this business put back together. Every month, it's like always the same fucking story. Such an excessive amount of money being spent between three people.
They were broke. The business wouldn't be able to continue to operate. And Ray, he fell back into a corner. The debt in his family's name would have to be paid back somehow. Ray needed a plan, and he needed one fast.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks.
Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
After a major fallout between the three business partners, my best friend Ray needed to find a way to get Miami Exotic solvent again. After each partner went round after round, putting the blame on one another, Ray snapped and came up with a plan to solve all their financial problems.
The world's just a poker. That was my sick, manic thought process. I'm like, I'm going to try this and I'm going to win $10 million and I'm just going to make everything right.
The World Series of Poker. He bets on himself. I said it was a plan, not a smart plan.
We had probably like 100,000 left. I was like, fuck it. I'm taking this last 100,000. I'm going to Vegas and I'm making this last attempt to pay all my debts back. If I win, I win. If I lose, I'm going to kill myself.
Make his money back or die? Those were the stakes? This is all news to me. Ray and I had been out of touch at this point. I had no idea it had come to that. So apparently my best friend jumped on a plane with 100K in cash, leaving his life up to chance.
I just bounced. I just didn't even go back to the house and just dipped. So like I was down in Vegas just like, I'm like, fuck these guys.
Ray was on a lot of drugs and he went crazy in Vegas. We didn't even know he was there. I think he was there for 3 or 4 days and we had absolutely no idea.
That feeling of walking into Vegas, you know, like your first time with real cash, having 100,000 on you and going to play in the World Series of Poker, it's an amazing feeling.
Ray was on the ground with 24 hours until the tournament of his life began.
I had the 100,000 in my backpack and I'm always feeling my backpack, almost like carrying it on my side just so I can just keep tapping it, right? And just make sure those chunks are there. Because I never walked around with this much money on me. I take the Uber to my hotel, get into my room, check in, kind of just do my regular shower, change. I'm going to go walk the strip, see what's going on, do my regular tourist thing, just walk around and fucking people watch. After I walk the strip, I'm asking other poker players what's their routines, you know, trying to figure out what would be the best way to keep my mind clear. On the other hand, making sure my drug regimen was perfect. I took a few Xanax. I didn't want to feel too zannied out. Took a Suboxone and just mapped out how I was going to do it the morning of.
After getting settled in, Ray enters himself into the World Series of Poker. The main event attracts thousands of poker players from all over the globe. The buy-in, 10,000. The prize pool that year, 67 million.
So you get to the Rio, it's like a super electric feeling.
It is that time of year. The World Series of Poker main event is back.
Main event, baby.
The main event, come on!
Everybody there, in their head, they're going to win $10 million.
Dreams are dealt every day at the World Series of Poker.
Playing that World Series of Poker has been my dream. I've been playing poker since I'm probably like 10 years old.
We played a lot of poker as kids. Well, Ray would. I'd sit upstairs with his mom, Carrie. She used to give me $10 to gamble. She didn't want me to be left out. So I'd go downstairs and lose after one hand. She was basically giving me money that would end up in Ray's hands.
I think my biggest ability to be good at poker is being like emotionless. You know, when you're making a big bluff, you need to be able to stay composed in the heat of the moment.
I lived more for the bluff than I did for the win. So then when I'm finally playing in the World Series of Poker, I got there early, so I was just kind of waiting for the table to fill out. Day one, you know that it's saturated with shitty players.
Like Ray.
And here comes big-time professional poker player. Most people in the poker world know his name. Michael the Grinder Mizrahi, seated right across from me. I used to watch him on TV all the time. He's kind of like a guy you see at a poker club, just has like that New York tough guy feel to him. But he's pretty stoic at the same time. But I want to beat this guy pretty bad. You're kind of trying to get some sort of look from him, like a head nod after a good hand. You just want to feel fulfilled and noticed by a pro on his level. Throughout the first few hours, we go back and forth. I won a couple hands against him. He wins a couple hands against me. But I'm just trying to get it to a point where he's going all in and I'm busting him. So this one hand, he instantly goes all in. And I knew something was off because he just was just trying to push me out. He was playing too strong. I call him and he just mucks his cards and walks off. At that moment, I just felt like I was on cloud nine. Felt like a high in its own right. I raked in the chips.
Ray was playing against the best of the best, and he was winning. Day one ended, and Ray's mountain of chips were secure. As his plan was starting to solidify, he woke up, had his morning cocktail of Xanax and Suboxone, threw on his hoodie and shades, and rode down the elevator back to the poker table.
They give you your bag of chips, you go sit down. My table was all the way in the back corner of the room. Even just sitting in the back corner of the room felt depressing, you know, away from all the cameras. All the shitty players are gone at this point. All the players seem to be more locked in, more focused, and I just couldn't get anything really going.
That mountain of chips was starting to dwindle.
The day just starts getting worse and worse and worse. Here and there, I would just try to throw in a little bluff, pick up some chips, but nothing really ever got going.
Ray could feel his dream slipping away from him, and he got desperate.
After a few more bad beats, they moved me to a new table. I was trying to get something going.
On his next hand, Ray decides to bluff, and bluff big.
I go all in, hoping to just take it down there. He calls right away. And there it goes, there's my tournament. I was out after the first few hours of day two. I got up, took my headphones off, just walked off into the abyss.
Ray's dream at making it all back at the World Series of Poker was over. His master plan, a failure. But Ray wasn't done yet.
I'm like, all right, so I'm down 10 grand, like what's the next move? How am I gonna win 500 grand now to pay off all this debt?
Back in Florida, Bert and Sam were scrambling. They're trying to figure out where their business partner went off to with the last of Miami Exotic's working capital.
He was taking credit lines out. He was gambling, I'm sure, doing drugs and hookers and other things.
I'm like turning my phone off because my two friends are calling me. You know, as much as I cared about them, fuck them. Like, I had a very clear mind going into Vegas. I was just like, fuck these guys, and turned off my phone. So I'm like, I'm just going to go play Baccarat. Baccarat is like a game I learned while I was there. I'm like, fuck it. Like, this is the game because this is what they're telling me. This is the best odds in the casino. Got to play it. But straight luck at the end of the day.
The odds in Baccarat are essentially a coin flip. The house and the player each have around a 50% shot of winning the hand. To recoup the Miami Exotic losses, Ray would have to correctly guess the coin flip 50 straight times. Ray was playing a dangerous game. He's on a cocktail of Xanax, subs, weed, and booze, entranced in high-stakes hands with the last of his company and family's money.
I've always gambled, but this is like the biggest gambling I had done up until this point in my life. I'm sitting at a Baccarat table, playing about $5,000, $10,000 hands with about $80,000 to $100,000. I'm winning, I'm losing, And there was no chance, really, unless I went on some crazy run that would ever make back $500,000 to pay off all this debt. But I'm like, fuck it, no matter what happens, like, it's either God sent that I make all this money back and I just make all this shit right. But I end up losing all my money.
And that was it. There was no card left to play. Ray could only imagine what his grandfather would think.
My whole life, it was always living up to my grandfather. I never wanted to disappoint him. I always wanted to make him feel very proud of me. But, like, I would have rather been dead than go talk to my grandfather.
He had nowhere else to turn. The house of cards had fallen.
I'm, like, broke at this point. Literally, I lost all my family's money. I actually walked the casino, and I'm, like, hoping, like, a slot machine has, like, extra credits in it or, like, chips are on the floor. I'm, like, you know, maybe it'll be godsend, like, I'll find a chip or something. So I just went up to the room, popped like 30 Xanax at once, just swallowed it down. And I just kept taking like as many Suboxones as I could, put it in my mouth, taking more Xanax, eating it. And I just lay on the bed.
My best friend planned on dying. We were all in the dark. Then Ray's whacked out mind, there was nothing left to live for. He had failed. His chances of running a legitimate business, gone. When I first heard the story, I had mixed emotion. I was doing my own thing back in New York. As far as I knew, Ray was doing well. To think he felt so alone kind of stung, but he'd never admit what's happening to me anyways. If he had made all that money back, maybe things would have gone differently. But that night, in that hotel room, Ray cashed in one of his 9 lives. Despite taking a shit ton of drugs, much to his own surprise, he lived. He woke up that next day in real trouble. He'd have to face family, friends, and his business partners. He would need a new plan. And that plan? Well, that would be the biggest con of his life. That's on the next episode of Creating a Con. To get an inside look into CentraTech, Ray Trapani, and all the characters you've been listening to, check out BitConned, exclusively on Netflix, available to stream now. If you would like to reach out to the Creating a Con team, email us at creatingacon@gmail.com. That's creatingacon@gmail.com. We appreciate your support. One way to support our show is by subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review Creating a Con. 5-star reviews go a long way. A big thank you to those who are listening. Also, be sure to check us out and follow us on Instagram at Glass Podcasts. Creating a Con is a production of Glass Podcasts, a division of Glass Entertainment Group in partnership with iHeart Podcasts. The show is hosted and produced by me, Johnny B. Good, with executive producers Nancy Glass, Ben Fetterman, and Andrea Gunning. Written and produced by Ben Fetterman and Todd Gans. Additional writing by Matt Delvecchio. Operations and production support by Kristen Melchiori. Additional production support, Trey Morgan. Our iHeart team is Ali Perry and Jessica Kreinchek. Sound editing and mixing by Matt Delvecchio. Consulting producer, Nathaniel Popper. Creating a Con's theme composed by Oliver Baines. Music library provided by Mybe Music. Thank you for subscribing to iHeart True Crime Plus, exclusively on Apple. We hope you enjoyed this ad-free presentation of Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Continue binging the rest of the series, 100% ad-free, and stay tuned for early access to bonus episodes and additional content, exclusively for subscribers. And for more podcasts from iHeart and Glass Podcasts, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career.
And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.